Hello, everyone, and welcome to The Mac Show. I'm Jeff Gamet. I'm your interim host, and I am sitting in for Ewan Rankin. And it's Friday, so that means that we get to talk about all the Apple stuff, which means there's a possibility we may have a little bit of ranting today. Maybe. It's possible. Anyhow, regardless of where the show takes us today, I'm here for the ride and I'm looking forward to it. And the reason I'm looking forward to it is because I get to hang out with all of you. Ben, how are you today?
I am great, Jeff. Just ready to talk Mac and rant.
Excellent. That's as it should be. And Dave, how are you?
I am doing well. Glad to be here on a Friday. Took the day off, and it's raining here. It's going to rain all day and then rain tomorrow. So I could be good to be indoors and hang out with you guys.
Yeah, no kidding. Stay warm, stay dry, and rain. That's just, to me, rain. We're in December now. Rain in December.
First.
That would be so weird for me. Yeah. Anyhow, not weird. Chuck, how are you?
Thank you, Jeff. Thank you for the designation right off the top. I appreciate it. I am great. I don't rant. I just speak facts.
You speak facts and you speak them with conviction.
No matter how wrong they are.
Yeah, but it's all about that conviction.
Exactly. ChatGPT and I have that in common.
Yeah.
Happy year one anniversary.
Yeah, right. Happy one year anniversary to ChatGPT and all of its amazing made up facts.
Yep. I mean, it's already survived a coup.
it good point. Has.
Good. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. So, Chuck, as long as you have brought up the ChatGPT thing, my cool thing yesterday on the big show was LM Studio. So if you want to start playing with large language models locally on your M series Mac, LM Studio, native, it's an app, runs on your Mac. There's a Windows version also, and they have a Linux beta. You install it, then it lets you choose different language models or different models to install. So you can have multiple models and try things out with different models and just do it all locally. And it's really interesting. I've been playing with it a little bit. And actually, I talked about it a little bit at the Naples Mac User Group earlier this week.
Nice.
I did not know about this, Jeff. Thank you. I will definitely be checking this out.
Yeah. Oh, Dave, thank you for dropping the link in the chat. if you want to learn about all the language models, Hugging Face, that's the website to go to. That's like the big repository for generative AI models.
Interesting.
There you go.
Setting one up and I'm calling it Skynet.
And rightly so. I'm surprised at how responsive of running one of these models on my Mac is. And for reference, I'm using a M3 Pro.
M3?
Wait.
You're M2, M2 Jeff. Pro.
M2, yeah. I was going to say.
You're an M2.
M2 Pro.
Wishful thinking.
You did not ask our permission to buy an M3, Jeff.
Yeah.
I did not.
Though I might be after watching a recent video.
Your porn isn't fast enough?
No, but apparently there is a low power mode in the M3 Max,
mm-hmm.
that will actually run faster than the M2 Max on full power.
Oh, that's interesting.
I got to get my work computer set up and try it.
Which level of M3?
Max.
Pro? Oh, the Max.
Oh, the Max. The M. Yeah, sorry. Okay, you said that. Sorry. Didn't register. Okay.
I have a Pro.
But apparently, the M3 Max set up so it has an automatic mode, a high power mode, which can basically have it run as fast as an Intel, or with the most power as an Intel Mac, and the low power mode, which is honestly which people should be using all the time, unless they need that extra power.
That's very cool.
Yeah, not only that, does it run faster than an M2 Max, it runs on it uses even less power.
You know, the less power thing, people, I don't think, pay enough attention to that. Because if you're someone that has a computer that runs all the time and it's plugged into power basically all the time,
yeah,
that difference in consumption, it adds up over the year.
Yeah.
It's sort of like your dishwasher, your refrigerator, you know, any of your major appliances, that especially the ones that are plugged in and run all the time, like a refrigerator. You know, you're right, Jeff. It doesn't seem like much, but added up over a year, added up over a few years, and it can put a few shekels back in your pocket.
Mm-hmm. I love that you use shekels. That was awesome. Oh, that just... I'm clearly easy to entertain, but I feel like I can wrap up the day now just because you said shekels.
Okay.
I'm actually cut that out, just using shekels, and turn it into an alert. And so when you send me a message, my phone will just be your voice going shekels.
Okay. Well, I'm delighted that my work here is done. I'll see you later. I'm
it is.
I can drop.
Yeah, we can just wrap up the show. Yeah. Well, I guess we should, though, talk at least some Apple news before we wrap up the show. So we're going to start with the obvious one, which is Apple and Goldman Sachs and the news that their partnership is officially coming to an end. And so for those of you that need the background, there's been the ongoing news that Goldman Sachs hasn't been happy with the partnership, and then this week we get the news that Apple has officially informed Goldman Sachs of their intent to sever the partnership. And then, of course, that has raised questions like, well, what is going to happen with the Apple Card and the Apple Savings account? And that's where we are now. Now, the story that I chose to toss into the live chat, excuse me, is one that talks about what's happened and Apple's prospects for a replacement for Goldman Sachs. So you have like one article, everyone, that you can look at for reference. So anyhow, now I have the backstory, and I went on. No, I didn't go on full rant mode on this on In Touch with iOS, did I? It's hard to remember. I ranted a lot on your show last night.
You did,
yeah.
Oh, I did. All right. Well, then in that case, I'll be quiet for a few minutes so all of you have a chance to say whatever you want.
Is it really technically official? Because have we actually heard an official announcement from Apple? Or is this? I mean, we've gone through a lot of this discussion, so I don't recall if
Apple made a statement.
They did
that. That they are going to continue to offer Apple Card and the high interest savings account.
So they did. Okay. But beyond that, I think, as we talked about yesterday as well, the fact they're going to be looking at a bank that's rumored as the Pismo, as it was, the Brazilian fintech company. There's at least there's got some good possibilities, because when they first said the we already talked about American Express, and then American Express already just like, no, we're not getting involved with this. This looks like that's a big money loser for us. And that's when Goldman Sachs shopped with them. But then they mentioned Synchrony Financial, which in the U.S. that's a lot of subpar credit. You know, they get a lot of people who don't have as good credit, and then they do a lot of store credit cards and retail cards, that kind of stuff. So I just don't see that business melding with the way Apple does business. So I was surprised that was even mentioned. So, but this fintech company sounds very interesting, and I'd like to see where it goes. I mean, I just got my statement on my savings account, and boy, that was really nice. The interest I got this last month. So it's pretty amazing that they're offering that. And I don't want to lose this, both accounts, cause they're really good. So it doesn't sound like Apple wants to abandon it. It's here to stay. They're here to stay in services in general. I mean, it started with the Apple Card, and then they started melding in all the rest of their built services. It's such a big piece of their profit every quarter.
And I came up with something that I thought was really interesting last night. Pismo itself is not a bank. It's a company that essentially offers back-end services for payment solutions. What they could be doing, and especially to get the Apple Card worldwide, is essentially having Apple control pretty much all the forward-facing parts of this, and then having it set up with not one bank, but multiple lenders across the world.
So, Ben, I love that idea, and I'm glad you brought it up, because in the chat, Bob Beach is saying that maybe they'll finally get the Apple Card in the UK. And I was thinking the same thing. If Apple does follow this path that you've thought of, it might be easier for Apple to expand their card into other countries.
I mean essentially they would kind of do it like what is done in an auto loan. You would apply for the Apple Card, and then essentially several creditors would look over your application and essentially agree to back it.
So go ahead, Ben.
That would also allow kind of differing interest rates depending on your credit.
Okay. Well, you can get different interest rates now. So would that be different from what you're seeing now?
Essentially, like, let's just say, blah 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 blah, credit union in Utah, decides to take on a higher interest loan or a lower credit score, or Synchrony or something like that.
Yeah.
Essentially, everything would be done still the same on Apple's end. The card would say Apple, but essentially the loan would be done by one of these different creditors.
Okay. So you applying for an Apple card, Apple says, here's your card. And it could be one of several institutions that's actually backing your card, even though it says MasterCard or Visa on the back.
Correct.
Okay.
So this may sound a little radical, but Does it really make that much of a difference to us as consumers? And again, I preface it as consumers with which bank backs the Apple Card.
Probably
not as long as Apple is setting terms.
Right.
Exactly. I mean, and that's because, Ben, you bring up an interesting point, you know, the interest rate. So, but my sense is that that would be crazy for any bank to, if you have questionable credit, to not be charging you more interest because you represent a bigger risk.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so the market would, it feels like the market would set that rate pretty much automatically. Yeah. And for the best customers who pay off the card all the time, then it kind of doesn't matter what the interest rate is because you're just, outside of a possible mistake, you're never going to be paying that interest. Mm-hmm. So, you know, when we start talking about Synchrony and some of the other, you know, candidates here, I guess you start trying to figure out, you know, it almost feels like it might have more to do with the merchant side. Or am I just, I mean, am I just completely off base on that? Because is there, since it's the payment networks that are managing the actual last mile use of the card, does the bank really matter?
I mean, none of the consumers facing side is all Apple.
Okay. Yeah, that's the way I see it, but I want to make sure I'm not missing something.
I mean, the benefit of using like multiple lenders like this is essentially Apple could expand it, whereas Goldman was very choosy.
So this could give Apple more flexibility for expanding the areas where Apple Card is available.
Yep. Well, not only available, but they could expand it to lenders who traditionally do not do co-branded cards, which there are only a couple.
Okay. Oh, I remember what my rant about this was from In Touch with iOS. By the way, thank you, Dave, for last night. That was a very cathartic and healing show for me.
Yes.
I clearly had to get a lot off my chest. All right. Well, so
it should be published today.
Great. Okay. So everyone, if you want to watch me just go on basically an hour long rant about topics, watch what's the date going to be on that show?
November 30th.
The November 30th In Touch with iOS. I was in a state, as I say. All right. So what I was ranting about Colorado last night about this was the whole thing with the way a lot of media outlets are presenting what's happening here. And I think they're misrepresenting what's going on. They're presenting this as Goldman Sachs wants out of the deal with Apple because Apple is screwing up the whole money is just screwed. And what's really happening is Goldman Sachs is getting out of the consumer facing side of the finance space. So that's not just Apple. That means all the other companies that they have consumer-facing products with, all of those go away. Now, Apple, they're the high-profile company in this mix, so they will get extra attention. And yes, we have had reports coming out for months that Goldman Sachs isn't happy with the way this is playing out with Apple. My take on that is that Goldman Sachs wasn't prepared to effectively run a consumer-facing division, and they're just losing money across the board. And maybe they're losing a larger percentage of that through Apple, but this is an across-the-board thing. So they're getting out. Now, for Apple to be able to control their exit from this partnership, they needed to give Goldman Sachs a notice of their intent so that they could break that and then start working in good faith on finding new partners. And so that's what Apple is doing. And it's all procedural stuff right now. So it's not Apple specifically that's the problem here. It's Goldman Sachs not being able to effectively run a consumer-facing product, and they're just bailing on the whole thing. So unless Apple was being fiscally irresponsible and very foolish, Apple had to do this so that they could start the process of moving on. Otherwise, at the end of all of this, if they haven't actually done anything, then it all falls apart for them. What happens to the Apple Card? It just stops working. What happens to all of the savings accounts? So yeah, Apple needs to be working on this right now. Hence, they had to give their notice to Goldman Sachs because there wasn't any other way for them to efficiently move forward.
Yep. Nope. Makes total sense.
And in keeping with that, and in keeping with my earlier question, the name Synchrony has come up a couple times as sort of having a at least in my opinion, mm-hmm. it feels like it's been given a negative vibe. And I'm not sure if they might not make a lot more sense than somebody like Goldman for this particular venture, because they apparently are very well versed in dealing with consumer credit.
Oh, very much so.
And mm-hmm. so
their portfolio has all kinds of retail settings. You know, but I don't know what it all depends on what Apple wants to do. I mean, they want, and that's what they, I think the main reason why they went to Goldman Sachs was the high profile bank as it is. Where Synchrony, you know, their portfolio of accounts is just all over the place with the mm-hmm. retail setting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and Synchrony might present a problem for Apple as far as the high yield savings account that right. may not be realistic for them.
Correct.
But you know, if we go on the assumption that one of the problems that Goldman had was the ability to manage consumer level credit, then maybe somebody that is a whole lot more of an expert in it might be the ideal place to go. Or maybe there's a middle ground where you start trying to figure out how to spread it around or do multiple partnerships. Mm-hmm. If we step back from the initial reaction that I think we all had about right. Goldman, you know, some of them bad-mouthing Apple and then, you know, then turning around, you know, you start to look at it and think, okay, kind of why were they there? And were they as great a partner as were they the best partner for this particular job? Sort of like we always talk about the right app for the right job. Were they the right partner for this particular job?
They have to know that Apple wants the best for their customer. I mean, they want the absolute best. And then that's why they looked at Goldman Sachs, because that's a pretty high profile bank. Apple wants to stay in that stature. So at least in my opinion and my observations is why would one want to go to a kind of lower level place like a Synchrony Financial, because you know Synchrony does Walmart and Sam's Club and a lot of these retailers they have the bank backing is Synchrony, and they approve everything. I'll be honest, you know, there's been times when I've gone and made purchases, I just go ahead and apply when I want to make a purchase, because they always offer the, you know, the 1 or 2 years no interest for a year or 2 years. And it almost, I mean, I just bought a recliner and I said, and I asked them and said, okay, and I looked and oh, of course, Synchrony. I was like, I knew it was an automatic approval because I've had other accounts in the past with them, but, mm-hmm. but they approve all the time. That's the type of card that's never going to have a option that you want to be paying any interest on it, because it's 30%.
Yeah, so, sure.
Dave, that's kind of funny, because I didn't realize, I should have realized, I'm not the only person that will go into one of those stores where you know you apply and they're just going to give you the credit card with enough to buy whatever it is that you're planning on buying.
Exactly.
With 1 year, 2 year, no interest. So I'll apply for the card, buy the thing, pay the thing off, during the interest-free period. But when the card shows up, I just cut it up and throw it away because I'm never going to use it again.
And the other thing, that type of what they do is they take these cards. Like, I've had cards for, like, Apt Electronics is a big local retailer here. It's one of the biggest electronics dealer out here, one store in the whole world. It's in Chicago area. But those are types of retailers that have all these different portfolios with Synchrony. There are times where they've taken accounts that I've applied for and they just combine it. Oh, this is your home account or your leisure account. And so you had all these accounts and then they just go, let's just put it all in one card. This card can be used anywhere or any of these places that are part of it. So I don't know. It's just the model to me just doesn't fit to what Apple has been doing with the Apple Card since its inception.
In the chat, Bob brought up Barclays.
Barclays was the previous to the Apple Card.
So Apple has a relationship with Barclays.
Right.
Maybe they are going to rekindle that.
Possible.
Total speculation.
I mean, Barclays does have a large enough U.S. operation now for an NBA to sponsor an NBA arena.
Yeah, that's true. But they also have the international flavor. So that, like Ben touched on earlier, that this could give them now finally the opportunity to have a card like the Barclays. I had the Barclays card before the Apple card. It was the iTunes Visa. And boy, you didn't get very good perks on that card. You got, some iTunes credits and stuff. But it was an Apple card. And because it was Apple, all of us enthusiasts, we had the card. But if they got to come up, stick with the type of program that Apple is already in its inception with what it has now, if Barclays is willing to do that. And that's the whole thing. Same thing with the savings account we talked about. You know, these banks all have to make that decision. Is that going to be worth their while in their business plan?
It's kind of funny about the you using the Barclays card, the Apple Barclays card. I had one, and I got it because I'd gone into the Apple store and to finance, which meant that you were getting the credit card. Right. And I don't even remember what I bought. It might have been an iPad. And then a couple of weeks later, my credit card shows up in the mail. And so I had it, and I thought, well, it's my Apple credit card. I'll use it for Apple purchases. And I bought like a couple other things with it. And then it just sat in a drawer unless I knew I was going to go buy something big at the Apple store. Eventually, I got a letter from Barclays saying, hey, we're deactivating your card because you never use it.
Yeah. Most card issuers do that. They start sending you love letters. Hey, we notice you haven't used your card in a while.
Yeah. The funny thing when I got that, it reminded me I actually had the card. I had to go looking it through drawers to figure out where it had gone.
I've kind of played the game. You know, I've got old accounts and that in your credit history. That's why I'm no expert when it comes to financial things here. But there's many times I've had cards, and you know, I look at the age of the card. They look at your age of your credit. If you've had that card for 5, 10 years, oh man, I don't want to lose that. So, I'll put $20 on it just to charge something, just to keep it active, so you can maintain that history. You know, like American Express, I've had an American Express card since 1985. So I didn't want to lose that history because that says a lot on your credit. So, so same thing with Apple card, you know, we've had it all since 2019. So you'd like to maintain that history.
So, Dave, somewhere in there, you brought up another factor that I don't think we've talked about at all, and that is the perks of the card.
Right.
Obviously, the savings account is one of the perks. Obviously, the 2% back. But 3% on Apple purchases. But we have not talked about the partnerships with certain vendors that pop up, some of which seem to be long-term, some of which seem to be limited, where, you know, you are steered toward those vendors to purchase with your Apple card so you get an extra benefit. And so this thought is not fully formed, but I just wonder, you know, if that will be or can be a factor in who Apple would select to be a partner, or which banks would court Apple to be their partner with the ability to offer more of that so that the Apple Card becomes more popular for them and for Apple.
Yeah, I mean, notably in the U.S., they've got Walgreens and Panera, both give you 3% cash back when you use your Apple Card. So, and there's many other vendors like that too. That'd be interesting to see where that goes when it comes to those types of partnerships. I kind of think that they do that kind of separate, because I think they've had in the past where they have special deals, like they've done stuff with Nike and they've done stuff with many other companies that they've had perks that, hey, for this certain limited time. But I think all these credit card companies do it. I mean, my American Express card, that's what enticed me to get it, because I have all these, we all spend way too much money on streaming services. You know, American Express is giving back like something like there's a 3% back on all my monthly streaming purchases, you know, streaming accounts. So that all builds up, and then just you can get credit just to pay your bill with it after time. So, you know, like my YouTube TV and Paramount Plus and all those streaming services are on that card. So I don't know why Apple doesn't potentially look at something like that with Apple TV Plus. I know there's another topic like we could probably hit on, which just came out this morning about streaming, if you want, but that would relate to that. But there's so much out there that they could come up with perk, adding more perks to make this card even more attractive than it already is.
So Dave, what's the streaming news? Because
the streaming news is,
I haven't looked at any news today.
It was a rumor that Apple TV Plus and Paramount Plus might team up and have a bundle. So you'll actually be able to do that as a bundle. I'll put the link here in the chat. It was definitely very interesting to see that Apple would consider doing something like this. And this, if anything, is going to be, is going to be something that I think this is a smart move on their part to get both services really gearing up for activity to get them people to sign up. You know, Paramount already is paired with other services too, but yeah, this was a report in the Wall Street Journal this morning. So definitely would come up with a good plan there where they can, you know, get a little better benefit between two services versus one. And, you know, a lot of them are already doing it anyway, you know.
Yeah.
With Hulu now, and the Hulu and the Disney app is going to merge into one starting, again, I think this month. And then Disney's taking the remaining 33% of Hulu from Comcast, and they're going to now own it, you know, outright. So now they're going to merge Hulu with Disney Plus as one app, so they don't have to have multiple apps. But that's different from what this business deal might be, is the fact that you can bundle Apple TV Plus and Paramount Plus together and get a good deal.
That's really interesting. Yeah. I wonder if that would impact the Paramount Showtime bundle.
I don't think so, because what they did with Paramount Plus and Showtime, they pretty much merged Showtime into Paramount Plus. So you go to Paramount Plus now, it's just a section that says Showtime. I think they're still maintaining the cable access of it. I don't know how much longer that's going to exist because it's kind of a doomed business. I mean, same thing with what Max did, HBO and Max, and rebranding it. You know, a lot of the stuff is just on the Max app versus having HBO as your channel. So I'm telling you, that is the most volatile area right now is streaming. I mean, there's just so much going on. We talked about it. I think we also talked about NASCAR signing a contract to have streaming exclusive on Prime. I mean, all these sports leagues are doing this now. The NFL did it, Peacock and Prime and all those. So that in itself is interesting. The fact of that really interests me is how streaming is just completely evolving more than ever it has before. Cord cutting is like, okay, we say cord cutting. I don't know if we really are cutting cords anymore. We're not paying for, a lot of people abandoned cable TV as we know it. That service is just keeps going down and down. And I know, Ben, we both follow the cord cutters news site, and I get daily stuff on there. It's fascinating the way this is going.
Yeah, I mean, Luke and Roger do a fantastic job with that site.
Yeah, we really do.
But one of the interesting things I learned to know that right now there are more cable there are as of last month there are more cable cutters than there are cable subscribers.
Yep,
that's interesting. And another thing that had to happen at some point. but we've now hit that tipping point.
Yeah,
it is. It's making Comcast and Spectrum the top two just to rethink their business model.
Yeah. I would also like to make one note about the Showtime Paramount partnership. Yeah. This is a lot like Hulu and Disney Plus, where Showtime is a subsidiary of Paramount.
Right. They bought Showtime. Showtime used to be its own independent network, and then they got bought.
Well, they didn't buy it. They combined after CBS and Paramount merged. Because Paramount always owned Showtime.
Right. CBS, Showtime, Paramount, right.
Yeah.
So let me throw a couple thoughts out here and see who rises to the bait. Because we've been waiting for a consolidation of streaming services, and this seems to be the way it's happening, at least at the moment, as opposed to purchases and who owns what. Sometimes it's more the bundles. But I'm looking at Paramount and I'm thinking about them in combination with Apple TV. Apple TV doesn't have a back catalog. Paramount does.
Right.
And it, maybe I'm just playing to the choir here, but it seems like it would have a back catalog that is very desirable for tech people.
Notably Star Trek. Yeah.
Yeah. And so, you know, and that, I mean, maybe I'm just seeing it through my own lens, but I feel like that if you are an Apple TV subscriber, you almost have to be somewhat tech savvy. Do you think that's a fair characterization?
Mostly.
You usually have
someone.
Ben, you're about to say what I was going to say, so roll with it.
You're probably going to have tech savvy in the family.
There you go.
Who is controlling things.
Yeah. I mean, there's learning curves with these services. I'll say firsthand, my wife was having a challenge getting through YouTube TV. I just insisted we got to change. I'm sick and tired of paying Comcast all this money I'm paying them. And finally, she's starting to get used to it. But there is a bit of a learning curve for those who are not techies like us to get through using these services.
Now, that's a very fair point, Dave.
Yeah.
And I guess I'm trying to balance it all out. I mean, in my humble opinion, I think one of the reasons that you're seeing people, and I know at least one person probably only one person on this panel, would never watch ESPN.
What?
Yeah. I wasn't calling out anybody, but listen, I'm no better because if ESPN, I don't watch it. I absolutely don't watch it as a pastime. If there's an event on that I want to see and they're the ones televising it, fine. Doesn't make any difference to me that it's on ESPN. Otherwise, ESPN is just, I mean, it's worse than AM talk radio. You know, who cares? So,
I listen to AM talk radio still.
Oh, well, that's...
Get yourself out of that one, Chuck.
Yeah.
No, go ahead. I'm waiting.
Thanks, Jeff.
Yeah, especially since they replaced the experts with the McAfee show.
Oh, I got nothing. I mean, because I listen, that's one reason that I still have cable, and I'm actually, that's a whole nother story about what I'm experimenting with, but yeah. I've subscribed to the bottom level tier and I'm grandfathered in, so I'm not contributing to the ESPN problem with cable. But I feel like that's one of the big problems with cable is through their contracts, everybody has to have ESPN on any of their tiers, at least one of the ESPNs. And so that drives the prices up and people just don't want to pay it because it's not delivering the value. The other thing, though, and I think this, Dave was the one that said it, you know, all these channels, all these services, need content of some kind. Sports content is popular because it's automatically generating something during the sports season of your choice. Right. So, you know, that gives them an automatic reason. And so I can see why it is so desirable. And it feels like each one of these things has started up a content machine, and that content machine has to be fed. And so you're either feeding it with a big back catalog of things, or you're feeding it with new, brand new proprietary content like Apple is, or you're doing a mix like Netflix has up to this point.
Right.
So, factor all that in and try to figure out what the heck is going on. And I love the idea of an Apple TV Paramount bundle, because it just feels to me like that one makes sense.
I think it is. I'm actually kind of excited about that one.
Mm-hmm. Here's what I'm seeing. I'm seeing a cycle, and the cycle is we have bundles, which historically has been cable. We didn't want that. We wanted a la carte. So then it all splits out, and now we're paying for multiple services, and we're paying as much as we were for our cable bundle. And now we start to get bundles again to save money, and and ultimately we'll be, if not exactly where we were with our cable bundle, we will have our streaming bundle. Eventually, people will get annoyed with having to pay for parts of a bundle they don't want. It'll start splitting out again. People like how much they're having to pay. It'll come back together. And I just see this as a cycle that we're going to keep going through.
Yep.
Out of curiosity, let's see. I'll just go ahead and name the service. How many of you pay any attention to Pluto TV?
I do. There's some amazing content on there. I mean, it is exploding. And it's, I believe it's a partnership with, isn't it CBS, Ben? Paramount?
It's Paramount owned.
Yeah, it's owned by Paramount.
So, because I went scrolling through Pluto TV last night for reasons that have nothing to do with anything here. I was shocked. Now, is it older content? Absolutely. But it's the kind of older content, no matter what age you are, or no matter what older means to you, there's probably something, whether you are, you know, in your 70s, 60s, 50s, 40s, some of your quote unquote older content is there for you. And it's the old broadcast model of there are advertisements.
That's ads.
In it. Mm-hmm. And so, and that is flat out cold free. You're not paying anything for Pluto TV.
No.
If you have a TV that can give you an app, Pluto is probably, sorry.
Yep. Same with Tubi, which is owned by Fox, Freebie, which is owned by Amazon, Zumo, which is owned by Comcast, NBC Universal, etc. The free streaming apps are actually some of the fastest growing streaming networks.
There's some irony there. Everyone wanted away from commercials, but now the commercial subsidized streaming services are taking off.
Yep.
Yeah. Go ahead, Jeff.
Well, Jeff, I think you're absolutely on point. But the thing is that there are two things that these free streaming services give you. They give you content that the networks that cable didn't want to. The networks couldn't, because you know they have to do the broadcast, and there are only so many things they can deliver. Pluto can deliver an ungodly number of simultaneous streams constantly that you can get, and you know they're there for you, and you're paying for them with your attention with the ads. Mm-hmm. So that's the first thing. But the second thing is, we still, even right now, you don't have exactly what we all want. You know, we want to pick which channels. We don't want bundles. I mean, YouTube TV is great, except that I don't want to pay for all that stuff, because there are probably four channels that I personally am interested in. And that price for four channels is way too high. But YouTube's mentality is, but look at all this other, just like the cable companies, look at all this other stuff we give you. You know, and it's like, yeah, that's fine, but I wear a size 11 shoe. And so if you're going to give me, you know, a shoe of the week that is size 5, it doesn't fit. It doesn't matter to me. Mm-hmm. And that's That's the mentality they push. They're trying to do quantity. I want quality in my selection, and they don't have a price option for me. So therefore, I'm either doing without because I really don't need it. I want it, I just don't need it. Or I'm finding alternative ways to access that content when I do want it. And that might mean going to a friend's house. It might mean going to a bar to watch a football game or something like that. So I feel like sooner or later, somebody's got to wake up and say, this is a decent price for a month's or a subscription to the Golf Channel.
Yep.
I was wrong when I started. I didn't think I was ranting, but apparently I am. Sorry.
No. That's okay. I may have rubbed off on you from last night.
I think we're all ranting here because this was a fascinating topic. I'm so glad we kind of derailed into this because this is great. And there's so much more. I was going to bring up another. We've had all those services over, and you got to deal also with the local networks, the local channels trying to get money out of all these services. They want more money. They're not making it because the streamers aren't paying them. So you got ABC, CBS, NBC, Fox, all the big networks won't get involved with that. But they got this new service that I was going to do it as a cool thing, but I'll talk about it anyway. A service called Tableau. I just got it. It's got
Tableau. Yeah.
I just received it yesterday. I want to hook it up and check it out. It has an indoor antenna, but it's going to do over the air stuff because there are some over the air channels like MeTV is very popular, and that originated here in Chicago and it's gone nationwide. So they got a lot of old shows, and so you've got that where this is a free antenna. You just buy the device and get it on. And it looks like they're going to also expand it to Apple TV and others, which I don't understand how they're going to be able to do that without having to pay these networks to do it. But it is over the air, but they're not, the whole point was all the services in the past got shut down because, they're retransmitting it over the internet, and that's what they don't want you to do. So where this is a device that's got the antenna, but it also has a DVR and you can record shows too. But you talk about YouTube TV, Chuck, there are some, I really like History Channel because there's a few shows on there I really enjoy having. Unfortunately, the A&E networks, which is part of it, which History Channel is part of, are not on YouTube TV, which is kind of a bummer. So I subscribe to that Frndly TV service that has all those channels and has all the other things I just mentioned too. And their interface isn't the greatest, but I'm able to, I don't admit it, but I do enjoy watching like American Pickers and Pawn Stars and some of the other History Channel shows that it's nice to have that on the service. There's another extension to that as Chuck is froze.
I was trying to figure out, did he freeze or fall asleep?
He froze. Jeez.
Sorry about that. That's a very,
it's a very flattering photo, Chuck.
Yeah, really. I'm sorry about that. I was not falling asleep during your commentary.
Oh, Dave. No, I could see you were frozen.
I'm back.
Chuck, that just sucks about your stream not performing well. Maybe you should be using TSO Host.
There you go.
Yeah, because TSO Host, they're letting us, they're helping us have a rock solid stream. That being able to live stream shows to all of you every single week, the resources for that are crazy. And it's not the kind of thing we would be able to really pull off without TSO Host's help. What they're doing is leveraging the things that they do really well. Streaming services, web hosting, helping people buy domain names. And they are giving us those things so that we can be here for you every single week. And it's a great way that we really appreciate for them to give back to the community. So that's awesome. And they're also giving us the hosting space we need for the website. So you can go and see what's going on in the BTN world all the time. They're giving us that server space we need so that all of the show files have a place to live. So you can watch or listen to recordings anytime you want. And they're just doing that because they're really cool. And we are a testament to how solid their services are because our site doesn't go down. our streaming is great. The only time there's a streaming problem is when we have screwed up some sort of configuration thing, or we are having a local internet issue. It's never been a problem with TSO hosts. They're just,
or Patrice awesome changes something.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. but you know, we can make fun of Patrice changing something and then part of the stream doesn't work. But at the same time, holy crap, we wouldn't be able to do this without Patrice either, because she has made all of the stuff on our end work correctly. So go, Patrice. All right, so let's say that you're like me and you want to let TSO hosts know that you appreciate that they're here for us. Well, I get to do it right now. You can do it too. Just go on social media and thank TSO hosts for being here and supporting the British Tech Network. Only takes a minute. Please go do that, because it's a great yes. way to let them know that we all appreciate them. If at some point you need to buy domain names, well, why not use them? Because we've already established they're really good at what they do, and they offer great pricing. So get your domain names, throw them in your cart. If you need web hosting, throw that in your cart too. Be sure and add the discount code BTN20 so that you get 20% off your order. So not only are they here supporting us and helping us out, they are offering a sweet deal for you just because you're part of the BTN family. So thank you, TSO hosts, for being here and supporting us. You rock. And, okay. Now, I'm going to do my best to tell you about the chat. And Patrice does this so well. I have a great respect for her ability to just go through this. And I know the three of you can probably do it super easy too. I have no idea why this is such an ordeal for me all the time. But let's see.
You want me to just do it, Jeff?
Sure, go ahead and do it. Yes, you just volunteered. Okay, it's guys. All you, Ben.
Okay. Let's just say you are want to chat with us right now, because you have to do it right now because we do not have a time machine.
Right. If you want to make fun of me for not being able to do the discuss the chat, you can do it in the chat right now. It's really meta and would be funny.
Yes, like Bob Beach is doing right now.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yep. Then you go to chat at BritishTechNetwork.com. That is our live chat. But let's just say you missed today's show and want to go back and see what was said, check the links. Well, you go to BritishTechNetwork.com/chat. There, it will allow you to select whatever date the show was on. And then you go and get it. You click on that and you will find the chat transcript from that day.
Wow. Ben, you have Amazing. Joined the OG club.
Yeah.
Wow. I'm
a gangsta.
You
we just
are.
Gotta record Patrice and just play it back.
You know, I yes. could I have so many show recordings on my computer yeah. right now. I could just go to any of them and right. cut the words are hard. Wow. And I could take that Patrice clip and just drop it in. Oh, people. How is it that I'm part of the podcasting community? How did this ever happen?
We were grandfathered in.
We were grandfathered in. Someone was like, well, we all want to look better. Let's have Jeff come in. So we'll look better by comparison. And here we all are.
Like, how does this all work? Get Jeff.
Yeah. Okay, Ben, you rock. And now it's time for some cool things. So who has the first cool thing?
I am going to go, much to everyone's surprise.
But, yeah, but Dave got his link
Dave
in
got
first.
First. Darn. Okay.
You can go, okay. Chuck. Go ahead.
Oh, no, go ahead, Dave.
All of you are dropping him in. I was trying to click on on Chuck's link. Then I realized there's Dave's link. And then Ben's link comes in. Oh, okay.
Okay. Okay. So all I'll say is Chuck, you cost me money, and then Web Bixby cost me money on this, but I think this is the most amazing piece of dollars I've spent on anything here. I'm using it right now. This is the Insta360 Link. It's the webcam. It's a half-inch sensor. It's an AI tracking gesture control. This is one of the most amazing cameras I've ever owned as far as webcams go. I'm almost like I don't even want to use my iPhone anymore. I mean, this and the quality on this thing is just amazing. And this camera is like this itty-bitty tiny thing. It's not the biggest thing in the world here. So it does automatically follow me. So if I move around, if I have it on, it'll track with where I go. You can center things real easy. But the other cool thing about it is it has this whiteboarding feature where you put four stickers on the corners of your whiteboard and you go whiteboard. The camera automatically senses those stickers and puts it right the whiteboard right in center of the screen. And you can be up at the screen and start writing. The other thing it's got that desktop view where the camera will just go down in front of me here and I can have my hands down at the bottom here and it'll actually allow me to do a demonstration and without having to do anything. So it's just amazing. You can set it up with hand gestures. So if I put my hand up like right now, it's going to see how it repositions what I'm doing it. It's doing that. I can also do this where it zooms in and out. So it's going through that. Yep. Well, it does that stuff too. That's Apple. I haven't tried the mic yet, but I've heard and I know the microphone that's built into this camera is absolutely amazing. So I'm going to try it out at work too and do some testing. I got a second one. I think this thing is just one of the most amazing webcams I've ever owned. The half inch sensor just makes huge difference. My resolution right now is at 3840 by 2480, whatever it is. It's got a companion piece of software that I'm using 3840 by 2160. And it just absolutely works amazing. I think this is well worth it right now. It's on a Black Friday deal. It's only $254 US. Yeah, check this out. It's absolutely phenomenal. I can't say anything more about it other than how amazing it is.
This is so tempting.
I will throw in too. I'm using the very same thing. And it is probably, it's been the best webcam that I have used yet.
I can move.
Right. And one other thing, and Dave is using it because I recognize it. Since it is a webcam, you can still use Camo and have all the advantages of Camo with it, as well as its built-in software. In fact, you can stack them on top of each other and use the controls for both. So it just is a really, I mean, the Insta people do some amazing things. And so I'm with you, Dave. I heartily endorse this. It's a little bit of money, but at the same, you know what? You're not going to need to replace this anytime soon. Mm-hmm. Because of the fact that you're buying we're right back to that thing of buying quality.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I mean, Logitech has so many cameras out there. Nothing against you, Jeff. I know you have used Logitech cameras for a long time. Well, we all have. And I think Logitech's done good with their Brio series, with their 4K. But I don't know if I ever want to buy a Logitech camera after I've gotten this one. I just don't think I do.
You know, when I bought, what am I using? The C920?
Which was a great camera.
Yeah, when it came out, I mean, it was hard to find a camera in this price range that offered the quality that this gives you. And it's a 1080p camera. And it has served me well for years. I mean, it's now, if you look at my image compared to yours and Chuck's, and Ben, you're using the camera now too, aren't you?
Right now I'm using the built-in camera on the MacBook.
Oh, okay. Well, I mean, you can see the difference between my image and all of yours. It's my image doesn't look bad, but the image that you two have with this camera and Ben with your iPhone, you can see the clarity difference.
Yeah.
So I get it. It's getting close to time for me to replace this camera, not because it doesn't serve me well, but because there are newer, better cameras compared to the one that I have.
Yep.
One other thing to clarify something Dave said, though, this is a pan-tilt zoom camera, a PTZ camera. So when he was showing you how he's moving, you know, it's not like Apple does it in software. it physically has a head that is tracking Dave, you know, so it goes over, or it'll, if he stands up, it'll go up. If he's, you know, goes down to the floor, it'll drop down. That, and that is no small thing. Yeah. So he's not doing that in software. The head is actually moving.
Well, the software's telling it to do it, but the head
is moving. So as a result, you have a lot more range than you would with just using Apple's build. Not that there's anything wrong with Apple's solution built in, and probably the number of times I will get up and try to walk over toward the living room and want you to see me are limited. But if I do, if I set it up that way and have it follow me, I can walk to almost, I'm not even sure if it, I think it may go beyond 90 degrees. I'm not sure.
It does.
Does it?
The,
yeah.
It shows examples on the Amazon link of what it does.
Yeah. So yeah, this is just a top-notch camera.
Yep. Nice pick. All right, Chuck, your turn.
Okay. I am going to pick the Tableau.
You got me.
Yeah. I have been using this probably for,
there you go. I got, here's the box.
There's the box. Okay.
Dave Ginsburg, everything within arm's reach.
There you go.
Dave can reach everything.
He can.
I just got it yesterday.
We need a pastrami sandwich, Dave. Can you find that? No, I've been using this for about 4 weeks, and this is my like third venture into something to pull in TV. Now, Dave lives a little bit closer to major metropolitan areas. Here in central Pennsylvania, I don't. And so it's very important for me to set up something directional to hit the TV stations that I want. And with the Tableau, I've been able to do that. In fact, there's one particular station that I prefer for news. And it's probably the one that's the most difficult up to this point. And with the new Tableau, I've been able to do it. Also, you can multiplex your antennas. So if you get multiple antennas, I've had some significant success with aiming, you know, one antenna one direction for one station, another one for another direction for another station, and improving the overall reception.
Nice.
I really want to do a briefing on this. I'm not going to do it here, but I will say this. It has been the first time that I have not sent some over-the-air solution back because it just wasn't meeting my needs. The DVR function is terrific. It comes with a lot of built-in storage, but if you decide you want to DVR a whole lot of stuff off of that, you can connect an external drive to do so and then designate where it records things. If there's one downside to it so far, and Dave, it'll be interesting for you to experiment with it, you really can't get the recordings off the Tableau. You can watch them within the app, but there's no way to archive them unless you're just going to save them in the Tableau system and then, you know, use that. But all that said, this is for $99. This is a phenomenal thing, and it's on special right now. I paid a little more than that, but I would strongly encourage you to check this out. And the other thing, there's one other thing that, since this factors into the streaming discussion we were having, I'm shocked at not just having ABC, NBC, CBS, PBS. MeTV, Dave, I do have an option for that here.
Yeah,
but I've been shocked at the number of other things that are out there that I can pull in. I mean, I can pull in Bloomberg. I have no idea who's broadcasting Bloomberg, but I have a Bloomberg option. Yeah. So, you know, don't think that you're as limited as you might think you are by OTA. It's well worth an experiment.
A lot of the channels have, they have the 2 and 3, sometimes 4 external extra stations on the band since adding, becoming digital. So it's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. Nice. So this is a really nice option.
All right, Ben, your turn.
Okay. Apple has one device, that seems would be pretty good for gaming. but has one problem. It's hard to find a controller, and that device is the iPad Mini. Well, this little device called the Mega Dream Wireless Mobile Game Controller works with multiple platforms, including iOS. It can move all the way out to 11 inches, so you can use not only an iPad Mini, but if you want to go like this, you could probably use an 11-inch iPad as well. But this acts as a MFI controller. So you can pretty much use your Mini or other iPad as a big gaming screen. It can also go down to be used with an iPhone. I mean, there are much better options for the iPhone, but there are literally none for like a current generation, no home button Mac Mini.
Or iPad Mini even.
Yeah. At $45 plus a 10% coupon, which would bring it down like, what, another $5? So about $40? This is a very affordable solution until there is something better.
Very cool. So you can basically turn your iPad Mini into your Nintendo Switch.
Yeah.
Nice. Okay, I'm keeping us moving along because I know Dave's about to have a very comfortable delivery.
Yeah.
So my cool thing is...
It's Legos.
It is. Well, there's only one Lego, but they make lots of bricks. And if I had not been pedantic about that, everyone outside the United States would have flipped because we're like the only country that refers to the company as if it's the product in plural. So my pick for today is the Lego Star Wars Advent Calendar for this year.
Sold out.
Well, sold out on Lego. But okay. you can get it like all kinds of places. I think you can still get them on Amazon. You swing by one of the popular retailers like Walmart or Target in the US, you can find them there right now too. So the reason it's my pick is because I realized it's December 1st and I do my Advent calendar build online every year, each build each day. So I'll be doing that after we finish recording today, but it's always fun to get to do the Lego Advent calendar, and they have a bunch of different flavors. So if you want the Lego town, if you want Harry Potter, if you want Marvel superheroes, if you're into Lego Friends, they have kits for all those. So depending on where you go, they'll be priced somewhere between $30 and $45. And if you live someplace where there's a Costco, go check Costco because they will sell all the kits at the price of the lowest price Advent calendar kit, which is how I picked up the Lego Star Wars this year. So it for me, it was like getting a 20% discount. All right. So, Dave, thank you for dropping a link where is that at? Target. Yep. All right. So with that, let's wrap up so Dave can go sit in his fancy new chair. Does it have a butt warmer in it?
No, didn't get that. But it's got an it's a wireless controller though.
Nice. So you can sit there and make it do all the work for you.
That's right.
It's a beautiful thing. All right. Ben, where can people find you?
Well, Jeff, you can find me at Ben Rathig on social media. You can find my writings on rathig.tech. There is a brand new article out today that some people might find a little bit controversial. You can find me on Tuesdays on Mac Voices with Mr. Chuck Joyner, Thursday nights on In Touch with iOS with Lazy Boy himself, Mr. Dave Ginsburg. And of course, Thursday and Friday here on the British Tech Network.
Nice. Ben, drop a link to your controversial article into the chat so that people can find it, please.
Absolutely.
And Dave, when you're not relaxing in your fancy new chair, where can people find you?
I'll have a chair. I'll have a picture so you can see how relaxed I am. Excellent. You can find me at In Touch with iOS at intouchwithios.com. As we mentioned, the latest episode 282 will be out with the four of us. I look forward to putting it out, and then you're going to enjoy it. Our YouTube channel, youtube.com/intouchwithios. I'm on Mastodon at DaveG65. I'm here on the Mac Show on Fridays, and I'm also on Mac Voices Live on Tuesdays. Thank you.
Awesome. And Chuck, where can people find you?
The aforementioned MacVoices.com, where we do a live show Tuesday nights at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, whatever time that is, wherever you are. You can join us in the chat room at youtube.com/MacVoicesTV. But the rest of the time, there are all kind of things popping on MacVoices.com. We talk to lots of interesting people. Right now, we're in the midst of releasing some of the holiday gift guide shows, along with some other compelling discussions from Mac Voices Live, and even more. So by all means, please check us out. And if nothing else, check me out on the socials as at Chuck Joyner. I'm on pretty much everything under that ID. Thank you, Jeff.
Awesome. All right. Then I guess that means I'm left. So for me, social medias, Jay Gamut, everywhere right now. Look for me on Mastodon, Instagram, and Threads. My advent calendar stuff, I post it to Instagram. It will repost to Mastodon. And this will be a great opportunity for me to get in the habit of posting content on Threads as well, which I'm working on improving that. Okay, then for shows, Chuck keeps letting me on Mac Voices Live on Tuesdays. Dave keeps letting me on In Touch with iOS on Thursdays. I'm assuming that it's either part of some penance that both of you have to do, or you just are waiting for those few times where I go full on rant and keep letting me come back just for that. Regardless, thank you. And then here on the British Tech Network, the big show on Thursdays, the Mac Show on Fridays, and Brian Chaffin and I record the Context Machine. And that's enough for right now. So thank you to the three of you for putting a smile on my face and just making my Friday start off so well. All of you rock. And for all of you that are here with us live, thank you for being here. You are all awesome. Everyone that watches or listens to the shows later on, thank you for being part of the BTN family as well. You are all awesome. Speaking of awesome, Ewan, thank you for being you. Muller, thanks for making sure we have people for shows. And TSO host, thank you for being here supporting us. All of you, if you're not watching, listening to the daily news show yet, Kyle is fantastic. You need to do that. Like 5 minutes and you have all the tech news that you need to know about. And then throw money at it to support it, because that show takes some extra money for us to make happen. So let's see. I think I got through all the stuff I really need to get through. And so with that, I think it's safe to say, please come back and join us next Thursday for the big show. Then again, next Friday for the Mac show. And everyone, have an awesome weekend.